I just don't say that. I just don't say that. I mean, you should have heard what Jesus is up to about 50 miles west of here. I mean, one testimony after another. That's why we just ran over. That's why I'm here late. I didn't sleep in. But no kidding. I mean, one lady stood up. She said, the doctor said it was cancer. She said, I just said, look, I don't own cancer. I don't know cancer, and I don't want cancer. That's what she said. She said, I'm here to tell you, I went back to the doctor after all this and that and this and that and this and that. He said, guess what? You don't have any cancer. She said, I told you that. That was just one. Another lady said, well, I got in there my yearly review, and they said, you're not getting a raise this year. And the Holy Spirit said, just rejoice in what I tell you. Just be patient. Don't worry about it. Just nod your head. So she said, thank you very much. I've been there 16 years. Inside my flesh was saying, you need to speak up. The Holy Spirit said, just shut up. So she didn't say a word. She said her boss kept saying, aren't you going to say something? She said, no, I'm not going to say anything. Just whatever you believe, whatever you say. And then she finally said, God's my source. So she left. 6 months later, she said, I called back in. They gave me a $2,000 bonus, which would have been more than what the raise would have been anyway, because they said that they saw my performance was so good. And she said, I just knew that God was going to do for me what they couldn't do. And he used them anyway. And her boss is like looking at her going, you got the bonus anyway, didn't you? Another lady's pulling on her hair this morning. She said, Pastor, I got hair. I said, is that hair or is that a wig? I said, you never know, because women sometimes wear wigs, right? Now, don't pull on any woman's hair in here this morning. She said, no, it's my hair. A year and a half ago, breast cancer. Went through chemo, went through this, went through radiation, all this stuff. They said, doesn't look good. She said, I want you to know something. My hair is curlier, it's fuller, it's prettier now. Plus, I ain't got no breast cancer either. I mean, that was awesome. Isn't that something? Another lady stood up. She said, now, Pastor, I just got to tell you, I was broken, had no love, had a terrible experience. My family fell apart. I thought I'd never find love again. I end up going to work one day, and a guy comes walking in, and I'm just serving him at the counter and taking care of business, and the Holy Spirit said, that's your husband. And she said, I looked up at him. She said, I don't even like him. No kidding. He's sitting there this morning right next to her. And so they came back again to do some more business. And in the interim, God told him, that lady back there, that's going to be your wife. So when they finally did start talking, she said, God told me you were going to be my husband. And she said, that's funny, because God told me you're going to be my wife. He said, where do you go to church at? He said, I go to church on the North Coast. He said, you do? I go there too. How long you been going to that church? I said, I've been going there 3 years. Well, I never saw you before. And so now they're married. They end up getting married. That's amazing. I mean, one spectacular thing after another. A lady said to me, Pastor, would you pray? I need a house. I got to have a house. I said, no, you don't need a house. You need a connection. Do you remember me saying this last week? I said, we just need to pray for a connection. So I prayed with her. I agreed. I said, Lord, in Jesus' name, make the right connection. So I'm walking through. I'm just saying good morning to everybody. How you doing? God bless you. She goes, Pastor, guess what? I said, what? She said, I got my connection. I said, you got your connection. She goes, no, I got more than that. I close on my house on the 19th of this month. I said, in 1 week? No, seriously. I'm getting cold chills or bumps or what do they call them things? Testimony bumps or whatever. She said, 3 hours later, God gave me the right person at the right time. We connected. I'm getting into this house, and I'm closing on the 19th. God did this for me. This is a miraculous thing. Another man stood up. He said, I don't talk much in this church. He said, I play up there on the bass guitar. He's got this real deep voice, real Miles. If you don't know Miles, he's got this real deep voice. He said, but I just got to tell you. I said, my mom and dad been going through all kinds of trouble. He said, my dad was down for the count, but God raised him up. Then I get a call. My mom's down. She's on a breathing machine. They said it doesn't look good. She's not going to make it. I called and got a hold of Minister James. He prayed. I was right in the hospital lifting my hands up. I was crying. And he said, the next day or the next week, I forget exactly how it went. She said, my mom suddenly woke up. They got the breathing tube out. She's at home cooking right now. She is alive and not dead. I said, wow. Then you know what he did? He took the microphone, handed it to somebody, and took off running. He started running in the church. I guess if it was your mama, you'd run too. How many this morning need God to do something for you that unless he does it, it won't get done? Huh? That's me. And the Lord gave me a word this morning. And I know that today, Tony, I know your family's standing. I know today we're, Nancy, your family is going to be moving. There's things going on with family. God put in my heart. He said, you know what? When one family member goes through it, if devil, you're going to attack one of us, you're going to have to fight us all. We're going to stand together because we believe that God is able to do. So I just want to do this. Maybe you don't have any family here, and maybe you don't even have a need. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you'll pray with me and believe God that what he did over there 50 miles west, he'll do it right here 50 miles east because he's the same God. Amen? So come on, get up on your feet, church. I'm going to preach here in a minute, but I just got a feeling we need to get a hold of somebody. Grab somebody by the hand. Families, get together. Come on, families, get together. And let's pray heaven down in this place right now for miracle release, for healings, for miracles, for raising us up, for finances, Father, for husbands, for wives, Father, for sickness, for diseases, Father God, for increase, for raises, for houses, for jobs, for children, for marriages. Father God, we're believing now in the name of Jesus for you to do only what you can do. When you do it, God, it won't take the normal time, but you are speeding things up. And we thank you this morning, God, for the victory that's in this house. And we just touch and agree. We touch and agree. We believe, Lord, that you are going to do for us, God, right now what your word is declared. Hallelujah. And so we stand right now, Father. We stand right now in Jesus' name. Come on now. Now while you're praying, listen to this. Another woman stood up and said, our house was in foreclosure. And God turned it around and the mortgage company called me and rewrote the whole thing, and I got my house back. Another woman said, I owed thousands of dollars in taxes because I lost my job, and I had supernatural debt cancellation. They called me and said, we're going to cancel your debt. Come on, somebody believe with me. Somebody believe with me. For canceled debt. Canceled debt. In the name of Jesus, we believe it now, Lord, and we receive it. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Well, you encourage somebody. Encourage somebody. Come on, encourage somebody. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You could be seated. Hallelujah. I mean, know that we're racing toward the end of time. Ooh, God is moving. You know, that earthquake in Japan, that's some crazy stuff. And we've been praying for those people and 10 million without water or whatever it is. I don't know how many, electricity and thousands dead, missing. That nuclear power plant on the brink of exploding. Come on. But how many know that God has the whole world in His hand? He got the whole world in His hand. He got the whole world in His hand. He got the whole world in His hand. See, sometime when you go through your day, you can't just walk through it and talk through it. You got to sing through it. You know, you just got to praise through it. You got to believe that to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Come on, sing it out. To God, yeah, be the glory for the things He has done. Listen, what He's done, what He's going to do, what He'll do again. He's not through with you. God's not, it's never over till it's over. Look at two people and say, honey, it ain't over. Come on, it ain't over. It's not over. Now just let me be me, all right? I won't keep you long, but I just got to tell you something that's in my spirit. I heard a report on the news that blew my mind. You know what it said? It said that that earthquake was so powerful, it moved the earth's axis. Did you hear that? I don't know how they calculate them things. But they said they moved the earth's axis. We are actually spinning faster right now than we were before the earthquake. How many know things are speeding up? How many know we're racing toward the end of the time? But you know what the Holy Ghost told me? He said, tell the people this. What used to take that long is only going to take this long. Come on now. Only going to take this long. I said, Lord, I receive it this long. And then they said this. They said, Japan has moved 8 to 13 feet west of where it was before the earthquake. Now, you can't move a country. Let the nations of the earth convene. Have a summit. How are we going to move Japan 8 feet? What will their conclusion be? It cannot be done. I don't know what you're facing where everybody has said it cannot be done. But when you put your life, your situation, Japan, in the hand of a God that is able to move continents, nations, 8, 13 feet and speed up the earth, you're serving the right God. Well, don't make me happy in here. Don't make me happy in here. Because my God is a big, big God. Woo! We've got to start living in the unusual. Huh? Everything you've been relying on. Listen, when it starts rocking and reeling and moving and shaking, you got to sing, on Christ that solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Would you with me right now? Just honor Jesus and lift your hands in worship. Father, right now we bring to You every impossibility known, God, to man that says it cannot happen. It won't happen. It never will happen. It's an impossibility. Lord, if You can move an entire nation in a matter of minutes, if You can speed up the earth on a spindle, God, with just a twist of Your divine thumb, God, You can do for families who are experiencing, God, calamity and tragedy and trial. Lord, difficulty and hurt and disease and pain and even death. Death is never final, Father. For you declared even over Lazarus, if a man were to die, yet believe, he shall live again. And so, God, we stand in your word. We say, Father, be the Lord of all in this room right now. In Jesus' name. Whew. And everybody said amen. Amen and amen. Thank you. God bless you. I just had to get that out. It's not my sermon this morning, but I'm just kind of stirred up in the Spirit of God. I got my smile. I'm about to put it on you. If I find anybody while I'm preaching not smiling, I'm going to get you. I'm going to put it right on your face. Now, why'd you get this morning? Because you know what? God makes us happy. And happy is my state of mind. Happy is my choice. Happy is what God wants me to be. And it's my testimony. There was a day when I was sad. There was a day when I was on antidepressants, or there was a day when I depended on stimulants. But I got up this morning and I had the joy of the Lord. That's what the psalmist said. Look at Psalm 35 and verse 7. You're going to have to read it with me. Are you ready? Read it now, nice and loud. And my soul shall, it shall rejoice in his salvation. My soul is happy. I want you to know I am happy. You say, well, Pastor, you wouldn't be happy if you were going through what I was going through. Everybody say that with me, going through. That means you're not staying there. It's only temporary, and it came to pass, meaning it's got to go. When they say you've got cancer, that means cancer had to come. And if it came, it can go. If you're in debt, that means you can get out of debt. Listen, nothing is final because God always has the last word on everything. So the joy of the Lord is our happiness and our strength. You know, Proverbs 23 and 7 says, as a man, what? Thinks in his where? So is he. Well, I'm just going to tell you what Paul the apostle, he was under trial. He was in tribulation. He was being chained. He was going to be in prison, ultimately martyred for his faith. And here he stands before King Agrippa. And what did he say? Hey, King, I think myself happy. Now, I don't get that, man. How could a man under that kind of trial in Acts 26, 2 say, I think myself happy? I got a feeling that happiness is a choice. And everybody connected to you really needs you to be happy. Because when you're happy, the whole world is smiling at you. And you know, when mama's happy, everybody's happy. You've heard the saying on the opposite, haven't you? When mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. But listen, when you get around happy people, it's contagious. But we have to understand why we become sad. Why do we become melancholy? Why would we become depressed? Happiness is a state or a quality of being pleased and content. It's a life characterized by pleasure, joy, and contentment. That's why you and I have to understand 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 4 and 5 that talks about casting down every imagination, every argument, every thought, take it captive against the knowledge of Christ. Because the enemy wants to put thoughts in our mind of loss, negativity, defeat, failure, pain, rejection, suffering. All that comes from the devil. God will never try to give you a thought that is negative. His thoughts are always positive. He said, I know the thoughts that I have for you. In other words, what he was saying is those things you've been thinking, they're not from me. So you need to get rid of those and start embracing these. Because I'm thinking good things about you. Look at somebody and say, God's thinking good about you. You know, sometimes I get around people and I do some counseling. You know, it's an amazing thing. All I do is give them the word. I don't have any magic wands. I just give them the word. I'm like, well, you could have got this at home for free. You didn't have to come to me. Of course, I don't charge. Don't get nervous. But I'm just saying, the fact is, I'm just giving them the word. But sometimes because we've been seduced by wrong thoughts, we create a perception that nobody loves us, a perception that nobody wants us around, a perception that we're not equal to somebody else, regardless of what evidence has been presented. It doesn't really matter. We now have that perception. In other words, I could tell you that these walls are white, but because your perception is yellow, I could scream and scream and try to convince you that they're white, but because you have a perception of yellow, there's nothing I can do to change that perception. Because what you've done, that thought of yellow, that perception of yellow has come into your mind and you've attached fact to it. Now notice about something about fact. Fact doesn't necessarily mean it's truth. Facts are subject to change. Truth is forever and ever always the same. So I need to realize that what I've done is I've attached a fact. I've attached a conclusion to my perception. As a result, then my brain goes into work. My brain then, because I've got a conclusion to a perception because of a thought that I've received, I now am going to attach a memory to it. For example, anytime if I've gone through a traumatic experience with a house fire or maybe a car accident or something and I come upon a real serious car accident, before you know it, my brain can take my whole life experience back to the moment when I was in my accident 12 years earlier. I began to perspire as if I'd already been in the accident. I can feel all of the trauma from it because our brains attach emotions to conclusions that have come from wrong perceptions, and the devil uses that to jerk our chain and constantly cause us to go into mood swings. There's nothing worse than living life in a mood swing. And so we go to doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists, and because some of us in here today, maybe you're on medication, and don't take this the wrong way, get well. But you can't treat a symptom and expect the root to get healed. We have to understand it's something deeper than a symptom. Depression is only a symptom of a wrong conclusion that my brain has attached an emotion or a memory to. So I need to realize that the Word of God is my truth, and I'm going to hold on to it because my wife needs her husband to be happy. My children need their father. My grandchildren need their papa to be happy. My church needs me to be happy. What kind of church service would this be if I came in here depressed? Well, see, I've realized you can't make me happy. You can make me happier, but you can't make me happy. Only God can make me happy. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Now you can make me happier. How do you do that? Coming to church. Sign up Seeds of Service. Tithe. You can make me happier, but don't tithe. Don't come to church. That's not going to make me any less happy, because my happy isn't in you. My happy is in him. Come on now. You got to recognize that this morning, because too many of us are on too many mood swings and too dependent upon circumstances and evidence needing to be presented so we could get some joy. Listen, the devil, he didn't give it to you, and he sure enough can't take it away, right? So let's talk about this for a few minutes this morning, because I want to present it to you. I think what's happened, this generation has fallen in love with the world. Now, I don't mean that in a negative way. The world's got a lot of cool stuff. I kind of like some of the stuff in the world. I like cars. I like, you know, boats. I like water. I like resorts. I like sand between my toes. I like a good meal. I mean, I like a lot of things that are in the world. But the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 to love not the world, neither are the things that are in the world. So I have to realize I can't fall in love with things that are unstable. You see, this earthquake in Japan has once again proved to us that everything in the earth and on the earth is unstable. So why would you fall in love with something and depend on something whether you don't know whether it's going to be there tomorrow or not? So you put all your affection into something that's unstable. That's like getting hooked up to an unstable partner. They love you one day, hate you the next day. Want to kiss you and make up the one day, next day they want to stab you in the back. Now, some of you may know some people like that. My counsel, get away from them. But let me tell you something. The Bible said to set our affections on things above. Everybody point up. That's where, above, not on things on the earth. Set your affections on things above. We've got to learn how to fall in love with God again. God and God alone. See, I don't need all these things to make me happy. I need to recognize that it's in God. Now, I like 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you could put that scripture up and verse 1, 2 Timothy 3 and 1, it tells us that in the last days, something's going to happen. In the last days, there are going to be some kind of times that are going to come. Do you have it? There you go. Yeah, here it is. Let's read it together. Ready? But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Now, don't conclude with me that that's the way it's going to be for everybody. Well, the Bible says, the last days, perilous times are going to come. We're all going to have this trouble. No, that's not what it says. Because the next verse says, for men will become lovers of themselves and not of God, right? The word for is because. So in the last days, perilous times are going to come because people are loving the wrong stuff. So I can be exempt from the peril everybody else is experiencing around me if I got my love in the right direction. He tells us three things we're not to fall in love with. Number one, yourself. Now that ought to be easy for most of us if we just take a real good look at ourselves. Number two, he said, I don't want you to love money. Money. Don't fall in love with it. And number three, don't love pleasure. Now, he said they're going to become lovers of those three things. Those three things I want to expose to you today. Number one, yourself or themselves. When Jesus said men's hearts are full of wickedness or deceitful, why would you fall in love with somebody that's a deceiver? It doesn't make sense, does it? So it's like the guy, the pickup line in the cafe. He's telling you that he owns a BMW and he rented it for the night. He's telling you, come on, you know what I'm talking about. He's telling you he works on Wall Street and all he did was pick up a Wall Street Journal. He's telling you that he's never been married and he slipped the ring off before he got there. He's a deceiver. And you fall head over heels for him. I'm in love. Why would you fall in love with a deceiver? That's what the Bible says, not to men should not love themselves. Our hearts are wicked and no man can know it, Jesus said. Number two, he said not only themselves, but he said money. Now this is a crazy thing because Timothy tells us the love of money is a root of all evil. Why would we want to fall in love with a thing that will take root and produce evil? Evil has one intention, steal, kill, and destroy. Third, he said, not only that, but pleasure. Men will become lovers of pleasure rather than God. Let me tell you about pleasure. Luke chapter 8 says that when they received the word, now you kind of stay with me on this. When they received the word in Luke chapter 8, he said, what happens the moment they go out from receiving the word, the cares of life and the pleasures of this world do something. It chokes out the word. So when you become a lover of pleasure, the very thing that you're in bed with, hear me now, the very thing that you're sleeping with, after you fall asleep, will take your pillow and suffocate you in the middle of the night. I didn't say that. The Bible did. Now, Hebrews 11 says this, pleasures are passing. They're passing. Pleasures are passing, meaning it's not always going to last. It's like a mist. It's like something elusive. So he said, don't fall in love with yourself. Don't fall in love with money. Don't fall in love with pleasure, but rather love God. Everybody lift your hand up like this and say, I'm going to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with everything in me. I'm going to love God. And I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. Now listen, that is powerful because, ladies and gentlemen, that gives us an exemption from peril. Now watch this. This is powerful. Everyone connected to you needs you to be happy. I remember as a child growing up, when my father came home, we never knew what his condition was going to be. Many times he'd come home drunk. Many times he'd come home grouchy. Or other times he'd come home and he'd worked 16 hours. We came home from school. We'd walk in the door and mom said, don't make any noise. Your father is sleeping. I said, it's in the middle of the day. Why is he sleeping? This is my house too. I'm going to watch some Barnaby or something on TV. Some of you don't even know Barnaby. Don't laugh because you don't even know Barnaby. And we get bored with the TV, and my brother would say, let's go downstairs, play some dodgeball. I said, all right, let's play some dodgeball. I say, you first. And I get that ball, and I'd whack him. Bam, boom. Oh, man, hit me in the head. Don't hit me in the head. I said, I'm going to hit you in the head again. Come on, you're going to get you. And I'd miss him, and he would hit the side of the furnace. You know, the cold intake, aluminum. And we'd hear. Then we'd hear. The basement door would open. And then this booming voice, rah! Hey, daddy's not happy. How many know that we weren't very happy either? Did you know that your happiness affects me or your lack thereof? If you come to church with a scowl, you come to church not happy, you come home from work all angry, upset, all out of sorts, don't want to talk to anybody. You don't know the kind of day I had. I said, well, I know the kind of God you say you have. Touche, what you say now. In church you were worshiping. How come you ain't worshiping now? Don't ever try that at home, kids. Because I may have to come after your father has been arrested. But you see, they need you to be happy. Happiness produces stability. Happiness creates freedom and liberty. When everybody's happy, everybody's released to be who they really are. I don't have to try to be something I think you need right now. I can just be me because you're so happy, you're almost like a drunk man. You don't even know who's in the room. You're just happy. You're happy with everybody. You're even happy when Aunt Clara comes. And I know you don't like Aunt Clara. So you're happy. And it produces happiness in me. See, ladies and gentlemen, we all need to find this place. I'm going to give you four quick ways, and I promise I'm not going to keep you long. Have I said that already yet? How many times have I said that? Just once, right? Twice? Okay, I got two more times to say it before I get convicted. I have a hard heart, man. I don't get convicted that quick. Not on preaching. On other things, I get convicted. But let me give you four ways how you can maintain a happy heart. Number one, learn how to devalue material things. Devalue material things. You know, I have a beautiful car that God has given me, and I'm very thankful for it. It's a 2003. I mean, I don't know where you stand on them, but it's a Honda Accord. It's got over 100,000 miles. I love my car. My kids all say, Dad, you need to get a new car. I mean, come on, you're a preacher, and you got a 2003. It's got over 100,000 miles, all banged up. I said, I like my car. My car likes me. I can tell when I get in it, it's like, hey, how's it going, Lou? I said, good. I feel good in my car. So I'm not going to be disloyal to my car. I'm going to be loyal to my car. Well, I was pulling out of the driveway the other day. I think I was coming out here. And, you know, we've had a lot of snow. And there was big snow piles on the end of my driveway. And I thought, well, I'm going to knock that thing over as I turn out of my driveway. So I gunned it up a little bit and I went bang. And it was like hitting a wall because the ice had formed over the snow. And I went, ooh, I hope I didn't mess my car up. Sure enough, I put a hole in my bumper about this big. So Dominic, here he's sitting right there, he took my car this week to come out here. He called me on the phone. This is great. And I should have done it, but I didn't. I was tempted. He said, Papa, I said, yeah. I could tell in his voice something wasn't right. He said, I used your car. It's kind of like he's talking to me with a question. I mean, you revealed yourself. I mean, you know what, kids, you got to be like smarter. Just, hey, Papa, I used your car the other day and I noticed something. I used your car and we noticed there was like a hole in the bumper. Did I do that or did somebody hit the car or... Do you know, was it there before I got in the car? And I'm like, baby, I got this ready. I could set you up. So what did you do with my car? I said, that wouldn't make him happy, but it would make me happy. But the fact was, I hit that thing. I looked at my bumper and I said, so what? So what? Devalue material things. Some of us put so much stock in our stuff. We don't want cracks, blemishes, chips. We don't want anything broken in it. And we want it always to function the way it always has functioned. Let me tell you something. Stuff wears out. Paul said it this way. Everything I used to think was all that, I counted as rubbish. So we need to learn how to devalue things. Number two, we've got to learn to rejoice. We need to learn to rejoice. Paul said it this way in Philippians 4:4. He said, rejoice. Is it up there? Come on, put that scripture up. Let's read this one together. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. You see, I had to rejoice in the fact that I'm going to be a certain age of maturity here in a few months. You think by now I would have learned you don't run your car into an ice block. How long you been driving? Wow, long time. Maybe by the time I'm 70, I'll learn my lesson. You know what? I had to laugh at myself. And you know, I looked across the street and my neighbor, he was laughing. You got to learn to rejoice and learn to laugh at the things that ordinarily will make you cry. Come on now, learn to rejoice. Number one, devalue things. Number three, are you ready for one more? Can you handle one more? All right, give it to God. Give it to God. This is in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. T and I, we rented a car this week. We were out of town. And it was the softest sell we ever had at a car rental counter. You know, when you get up there, they're always like, you got insurance? Said, yeah. You got good insurance? Because, you know, if you get in an accident, this car is going to be keep charging to your account. And they give you all these reasons. They never said a word. I just came up there. I said, I need my car. He said, here, no problem. He said, just take this thing to the guy and he'll give you the car. I walked away. I said, Tina, that was the softest sell I've ever had in my life, renting a car. This is great. I really like this company. We hadn't used that company before. We got outside. I presented the car to the guy and he said, come on, let's go take a look at your car. Then this hard sell came. He said, do you have insurance? You know, this can be a real bad situation for you. How much is your deductible? I said, I don't know. I felt like I was being interrogated, like I was 16. I was late on my curfew. That's kind of how I felt. And he said, was it $500? I said, well, maybe $500. He goes, well, all right, let's add up $500. Then he said, let's say you do $2,000 worth of damage, and that's going to cost you $5. Then your premium's going to go up for your insurance for the next 3 years. Going to cost you about $3,000. We're up to $3,500 right now. And then the length of the time it takes for us to get this car repaired, you're going to have to pay for the rental for that whole entire time. So we're probably $5,000, $6,000. Do you want to write this policy up? I said, how much does it cost? He said, it's only $26 a day. It was actually as much as it was to rent the car. I said, no, I don't think so. He said, okay, and he stopped. I got in the car. He said, by the way, you rented an economy car? We don't have any. I said, really? He goes, you got three choices. You can either do a van, a small SUV, or a Lincoln Town Car. I said, baby, what you talking about? Give me the town car. I'm going to drive a town car. So I drove away a town car for a e-car rental. So I'm like, God, you're so good to me. You know, I was happy, right? So the whole time I'm away, I said, Tina, we can't get in no accidents because we didn't buy this insurance. I said, we have to be really alert because these thoughts were in my mind. You know what I'm talking about? I see this guy's face. I told you, you should have got the insurance, right? The last day of the car rental, we're in a side street. Nobody's even driving on the side street. I mean, it was so small, you got to pull off on the brim of the road to let another car pass the other way. That's how non-traffic road it was. It was just nothing. We get down to the cul-de-sac, last house on the right. This little black, super-sized, whatever it was, car comes racing backwards out of the driveway. And Tina said, ah, he's going to hit you. You did, didn't you? You screamed. I said, oh, my gosh. And I braced for the hit, and I tried to speed up, but I was at the end of the road. And I didn't want to go off the cul-de-sac. I said, oh, oh. We're both, oh, she's screaming, ah. You ever have those moments? And he missed us. I went, whew, thank you, Jesus. I said, whew, I should have got that insurance. You and I got to learn how to guard our minds. That wonderful brother who's going to be saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and do great things for God, salesman, who put thoughts in my mind, was in my car every day. And then when I had the almost accident, he came up on the hood and went, I told you. You know what I'm talking about? Guard. Everybody go like this. Say, guard your mind. See, if we don't guard our mind, we're not going to be happy. Because you're going to start thinking stupid. You're going to let people put thoughts in your mind that are going to steal your joy. All right? So let me conclude with this. There's two admonitions in Proverbs 3 and 13. It said, when you get wisdom, you are going to get happiness. The problem is, you get wisdom in verse 18, but we don't retain it. We let it go. You know, there's moments we believe God and we don't believe God. We believe God and we don't believe God. All of us have done that. We've got to minimize those bleeps on our radar screen. We got to say, look, I'm a man of covenant. T and I got up in the morning before we got in that car, and we said, Father, we thank you for angels that escort us. Every week when we come out here, we say, Lord, I thank you that you escort us with angels. You bring us safety to our destination. We will have no accidents, incidents, or mishaps in any way. We thank you, Lord, that tonight we will return safely to our home and enjoy our evening and have a great night's sleep, rejoicing over what you're going to do today. See, I was a man of covenant. Here I am, a man of covenant, listening to some salesman tell me I should have bought insurance. You and I have to begin to reduce the moments when we have those lapses in our thinking. To say, no, this is a trick of the devil. He's trying to get me to walk in depression. He's trying to get my happiness, and I'm not letting go of it. Because I know that my God is not a man that he should lie. That he is true. He is real. He is always on time. And he will protect us. I don't know how that man ever missed us. I don't know how in the world he didn't crash in to the back quarter panel of that car. It's a beautiful Lincoln Town car, black. I mean, I look like a dignitary in this car. I'm driving this thing. And it would have been such a shame to have to pull up there. And you know what the devil would have loved to have done is have the same salesman waiting on me when I pulled up. But you know what? Somehow, God put an angel between that car and my car. God will send an angel to your place of employment, to that hospital room, to that financial decision. God will send an angel to minister to that one that you've been trying to reach. God will arrange circumstances if he has to turn the whole world on his axis. If God has to shift a nation 8 feet to the left, God can do everything he said he will do. And I want you to be encouraged today because I gave you a smile today. And I want you to go home, go to the restaurant, go wherever you go after church, and look at somebody and say, hey, I went to church today and I got a smile. And I want to give it to you. They may say to you, you know what? I'm not smiling much today. I've been going through a lot of trials. I lost my job a couple months ago and haven't got any leads. You know what? I wish I could smile, but I just buried my husband. I wish I could smile, but you know, right now, I've been depressed over my daughter's alcoholism and her challenges that she's going through. I wish I could smile, but you know, my husband and I, we've not been getting along very well. Say, listen to me. This smile I want to give you is not something that you put on the outside. It's something that God wants to put it on the inside. And his name is Jesus Christ. So I pray today that's what we'll do with this little smile face. Let it be also a reminder to each of us that God has made us happy. Because our names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, you may mourn over me if I were to die this week. You might even come to the funeral in the wake and say, he was a good man. I don't know what you'd say. Really wouldn't matter. But I know this, that you don't have to weep for me because my soul is satisfied. I'm happy in Jesus. And you can be too. And if you're not happy in Jesus, you'll never be happy. Let me say it again. If you haven't found happiness in Jesus, you'll never be happy. With your head bowed, let me ask this question. If you were to die today, you say, Pastor, I want to go to heaven, but I don't know for sure. Would you pray for me? Sure, we will. Of course we will. Are you kidding? That's what we're all about. Prayer. We believe God. We believe that God can touch a man or a woman's life and change it and turn it around. Give us hope where there is no hope. Give us help when we couldn't find any. God is a God that will sustain us, protect us, preserve us, and deliver us. He's here right now. Holy Ghost has been in this room from the very moment that I walked in. I felt the presence of God. You all were just worshiping and just getting things ready. Come on, Holy Ghost, have your way. Do your work. Do what only you can do. We can't do it. But while we're praying right now, you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need that prayer. I need that prayer. And if that's you today, here's what I want you to do. On the count of three, I want you to lift your hand up, just signifying that you want the prayer. Are you ready? Ready? Number one, number two, number three. If that's you, hold it up. Up, 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 up. Now, if you held it up, I want you to stand up quickly. Come on, stand up. Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. God bless you. Now I want you to do me a favor. Get out from where you're standing. Join me at this altar. Come on. Come on. Encourage them. Come on. Join me right here. We want to give you some Bibles, give you some information to get you started. It's sort of like a happy fix, okay? That's all we want to do. So altar ministers, would you come and find one of these and pray with them? Guys, find a guy. Girls, find a girl. If you just come over and just take them out to the side and pray with them. Come on, altar ministers. There's a lady here. Somebody's coming, sweetie. There's a lady here. You need somebody here. Okay. And we have a lady here. There's another lady here. We have somebody else to help us. Okay, come on. Here you go, Lisa. Lisa's coming right here. Here's Lisa. We have, oh, right here. I'm sorry. Sorry. Here you go, Shavita. Shavita's coming. Just reach your hand out. Just pray with them. Would you do it right now? Come on. Strongholds are being broken. Come on. God's meeting their need. This is a powerful moment of birthing into the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Bless them today, Father. person, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we just bind the enemy. We loose the blessings from heaven. We know that Jesus is moving mightily in their life right now. Father God, break the chains. Loose the bondage. And let the peace of God rule and reign in their hearts, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. While they're praying, John and Jennifer, where are you? We want to pray for you. Mark and Lowell. Mark. John and Jennifer are moving. Would you pray for them? Just lay hand. They're moving. When are you leaving? Tomorrow? Saturday? Come on up. We want to pray for them. Would you lay hands on? They're moving to a new location. Lowell. Tim, would you pray for them? Your attention, please tell them the foundations of the faith class at 10:45 every Sunday, room number 2 right here. You really need to learn the Word of God and the foundations of your faith. Please come. It'll change your life. So if you're praying with somebody, please tell them foundations of the faith, 10:45, room 2 every Sunday. Okay? Amen. Amen. All right. Now, you're still here and you haven't got a breakthrough. You need a healing in your body. You still feel a symptom and you're believing that God's going to give you the victory and you want to have agreement prayer. Please come forward at this time. Our elders are up here. Our altar ministers are here. We're not ready to go. You can go, but we don't want anyone to go that's not been ministered to. So, you have a need. I want you to come. Otherwise, live right, love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you on Wednesday night. All right? Remember, Jesus made me happy, right? Come if you need prayer. Come on, come on.